a fearsome din of trumpets, amplified by the closeness of the hills on either shore, and the great mass of the Persian battle fleet breasting the island of Cytilea, rounding the southern spur of Salamis, began to quicken its oar strokes. Phoenicians on the right wing, Ionians on the left, Cilicians, Carians, and other contingents in the centre, they still, during these first minutes of their advance, had no clear view of the enemy, for the angle of the channel precluded it, and spray and the mists of an early autumn dawn would have veiled the waters. But then, rising from ahead of them as the front ranks closed in on the Greek positions, they heard singing, and the paean soared to such a pitch that a high echo rolled back in answer from the island crags. Hardly the sound of men in panicked retreat, but there could be no turning back now for the great king's fleet, not even if captains in the front ranks of the battle line felt a sudden presentiment that it was they who were sailing into the ambush. Already, stretching far behind them, an immense forest of masts could be seen crowding the channel as the squadrons sought to manoeuvre themselves into position, struggling not to foul one another in the narrowness of the straits. Hugging the mainland, where the shore was reassuringly thronged with their own troops, the Persian captains could hardly doubt now, as they looked towards Salamis, that the great king had been well and truly conned. The Greek triremes, far from fleeing at their approach, were marshalled in a great battle line of their own along the bays and spurs of the island, from the Athenians on the northernmost wing to the Aeginetans in the south, and the ram of every ship was pointed directly at the Persian fleet. Nevertheless, in the last stomach-knotting moments before battle was finally joined, the imperial admirals must still have hoped that the enemy might prove a rabble, for the Greek warships, as though in trepidation, kept backing ever closer to the shore. But then, just when it seemed as though they would run themselves aground, a single ship came darting out of the ranks of retreating triremes. Men would later claim that those on board it had been stung by the words of a female apparition, a phantom who had materialized suddenly before the Greek line and asked in ringing scorn, "Madman, how much further do you propose to back off?" Now the crew gave their answer, pulling hard on their oars, powering their vessel so that it sped across the open waters which still lay between the two battle lines, manoeuvring it so that the bronze of its ram was aimed at the stern of a stray Persian ship. The rattling of a drove of arrows on the deck, then a crash and a splintering of wood, the first contact of the battle had been made. Seeing this, captains of other ships brought their craft skimming forwards in support of their comrades. Soon all were on the move, and the Greeks, as they advanced, with discipline and in perfect order, sang with the joy and frenzy of the killing that was to come. And in no time the battle was general along the whole course of the channel. It is a mark of the confusion of the engagement that even the identity of the first ship to engage the barbarians should later have been furiously debated. Proper adjudication was impossible. The battle line stretched for upwards of a mile, and no one in the straits had a view of the whole panorama of the battle. No wonder, then, that memories of that grim and glorious day should have been not of strategy, nor of the ebb and flow of the fighting, but rather of stirring deeds of individual heroism, exploits that shone all the more brightly for being set against a backdrop of such carnage and chaos. The greatest glamour of all attached itself to certain trireme aces. Most celebrated of these was an Athenian, Amyneus, from the village of Pellene. In the shock of the battle's opening, he dared to attack the flagship of the Phoenician fleet, a towering vessel commanded by one of the great king's own brothers. The royal admiral, naturally infuriated by the impudence of his assailant, ordered missiles to be rained down upon the Athenians while he himself led a boarding party. But he was skewered by Amyneus as he made the jump and pitched overboard.